take your Bibles tonight and let's turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 7, the book of Genesis. As you are turning there, I want to say how much I appreciate your pastor, Brother Grubbs, is such a great friend and such a great preacher and pastor. I know that you feel honored and privileged for him to be the under-shepherd of this great church. And I appreciate his family, the meal, the cobbler, the ice cream, everything was so wonderful tonight. And we appreciate your hospitality. And so we are so grateful to be able to be here tonight. Genesis chapter number 7. I want us to look at a very familiar passage of scripture tonight, verse number 13. And we're going to read down to verse number 16. And then I want us to look at Genesis chapter number 8. If you're in Genesis chapter 7, say amen. The Bible says, in the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. I want you to look at chapter number 8 tonight very quickly. If you'll turn there to verse number 14. We come to the passage of scripture that I want you to underline. It says in verse 14 of chapter 8, in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Tonight I want us to look at chapter number 7 and chapter number 8, where we began reading the passage of scripture to where we ended tonight. And I want to speak on this subject, waiting on God to open the door. Waiting on God to open the door. Now, as you come to Genesis chapter number 8 tonight, you come to the finality of this great flood that God had sent upon the earth. We all know the story of Noah. We have been taught that story since we were children in Sunday school, and we know it very well. But tonight, I want us to think just for a little while of what they endured while they were on that ark, and the moment of time from when they went into the ark and God shut the door to the moment that they came out of the ark and God opened it back up. I want you to think about those days and those months where they anxiously waited on God to do something in their lives to open up that door. Now we know that Noah and his family, they were spared in that ark because they were in that ark. God spared them from the greatest storm that humanity has ever encountered. I don't think I'm taxing your intelligence tonight to say this, that the only way they survived that storm was the fact that they were in that ark. Noah was a good man, but Noah being a good man didn't save him from the flood. Noah was a righteous man in his generation, but him being a righteous man in his generation didn't save him from that flood. He was a family man and a hardworking man, but none of those things saved him when the judgment of God came. I wonder if I'd get an amen right here. The only thing that saved him was that he was in the ark. The ark took the judgment. The ark took the condemnation. It was the ark that took the very wrath of God. And I'll remind all of us tonight, our goodness will never save us from the wrath of God. And our righteousness and our religion and our own morality will never save us from the wrath of God. But how many in this place tonight is in the ark? And that ark is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah was spared because he was in that ark. Noah was also sealed because he was in that ark. He wasn't just spared because he was in it. He was sealed while he was in the ark. It was God himself who designed the ark of Noah. Yes, it was Noah that constructed the ark, but it was come from the blueprints of Almighty God. And God said, I want you to build it this way, and I want you to build it this height. Noah, when you get finished with it, I want you to pitch it within so that none of the storm can get into the boat. And think about this tonight. Even though the boat was in the storm never got into the boat because God had sealed it from the inside. How many in the building tonight glad that they're not only saved, but they are sealed until the day of redemption. Not worrying about tonight about my salvation because it's been secured by the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. I'm in the ark and the ark is in me and we're in God. We go through anything together. They were spared in the ark. They were sealed in the ark. They were supplied in that ark for all of those days. God met every single one of their needs. Jehovah Jireh manifested himself into that place and God certainly was good in the time of the greatest storm. I think you'd submit and agree with me tonight. God, through it all, has been good, has he not? God has met our needs over the last 12 months. As a pastor, I've looked back and I've thought, how are we going to get through this as a church? Or how are we going to go through this storm? Or how are we going to communicate to our elderly? How are we going to make it through? And every single day, God would meet the need and God would supply. I want to go on record tonight too and say, God sure has been good in my life. God has been faithful. God has been true. But what I want to get to tonight is this. They were not only spared in that ark and sealed in that ark and supplied in that ark, but they were still in that ark. I want you to think about that this evening. They were still in that ark. And what I mean is that there was a space and time, I think every day that the storm came, that they looked at that door and they wondered, God, how much longer is it going to be until you open it up? I mean, it was God himself, as we read in Genesis chapter 7, that shut that door. It was God that sealed them in. It was God who constructed that boat. It was God who put the seal upon the parameters of that entrance. And Noah knew this, that it would have to be God that would open it up. Noah couldn't have opened up that door because Noah wasn't the one that shut it. And they were still for many, many days wondering, God, is today the day? I'm so glad that they sang that song as the last song, waiting on God, 4 days late, but still on time. I think about Noah and his family every single day waiting on God to do something, waiting on God to move, waiting on God to open up the circumstances of their life. And maybe you're here tonight and you, much like Noah, feel the same way. You're waiting on God to do something, and you may not even know what it is that you're waiting on, but you feel in your spirit that God needs to do something so that you can break through to another season. When they were to come through that door, they were entering into a new world and a new chapter and a new beginning and a new start and a new family and a new season of their life. But the only thing that stood between them and that was the door, waiting on God to open the door. Think about this tonight. Think about the duration, number one, of their waiting. The duration of their waiting. Now, by my calculations, the storm only lasted for 40 days. But do you know how long they were in that boat? 370 days, over a year they waited. 7 days they went into that ark before it ever rained, and then God shut them in, and then the greatest storm of their life struck. Can you imagine what it must have felt like being tossed to and fro throughout all of the earth? Imagine hearing the winds and the waves and the cries and the agonies of those who were dying on the outside of that ship. And then 40 days ceased, and certainly somewhere in their mind they thought, well, the storm is over with. It's time to leave. It's time to dismiss. But there would be many, many, many more days that would come and go of them sitting there staring at that door, wondering, God, when are you going to open it up? 40 days, the storm came. At day 150, the water reached its highest level. At day 264, the ark rested upon Mount Ararat. It was 114 days later that Noah sent out that dove. And then that raven, and then 7 days after that, he sent out a dove. And then another 7 days, he sent out a dove, and the dove came back with an olive branch in its mouth. There was another 56 days after that that they stayed on the ark, waiting and wondering, God, when are you going to open the door of this ship? And that doesn't include all the years of preparation and all the years of working. Noah was 600 years old when he entered into that boat, but he was 601 when he came out on the other side. I mean, I think the storm had to have been hard, but sometimes the stillness is much harder. I mean, the storm of God can devastate our life, and the storm of God can make us wonder what's going on, but sometimes it's the stillness of God that I have problems with. Wondering, God, when are you going to move? And God, when are you going to operate? And God, when am I going to see the light of day? Waiting on God is hard. And sometimes we have to wait a lot longer than when we ever anticipated to wait. Sometimes that waiting is more than we're really wanting to experience. Some of you tonight are waiting on a doctor's report, and you're wondering when and where and how the news is going to come to you. Some of you are waiting on God to fix a marriage or a relationship. Some of you are waiting on a child to get saved or a grandchild to come back to the church. Maybe tonight you're waiting on God to do something financially in your life. Maybe you've gone through a season of depression and you think, man, I've just stared at this door every single day of my life. And I'm wondering, God, when are you going to break through? God, when are you going to let me see the other side of this thing? Because I'm in this box and the smells and the sights and the animals and Brother Noah and Sister Noah and all the kids and all the stuffs of life is just too much more than I can bear. Sometimes waiting is a lot longer than what we expected. But I've learned this about my life, and I've learned this through the Word of God. I wonder if I get an amen. Good things come to those who wait. And you can't always expect God to work on your time frame. My wife is with me tonight, and anytime she comes with me, people will look at me, and then they'll look at her, and then they'll look back at me and say, how did you get somebody like that? And I always reply, well, when you got it, I guess. I don't know. Probably the same way Brother Joshua got Miss Kim. Can I get an amen? Now, I remember when we first got married. It's been 21 years ago. I remember when we first got married. How many knows what that first year is like when you get real happy and gain about 20 pounds? How many knows what that's like? And I remember just thinking to myself, you know, I've really let myself go. And I used to have a six-pack. Now I only have one pack, and it's all flab. And I was watching television late at night. Heather was already asleep, and the infomercials were on. And I saw this guy. He was a little overweight. And how many remembers the ab belt? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The ab belt. All you have to do is put the ab belt on, and you can sit in your chair, and those pulsations, it'll start working the muscles in your stomach, and you'll lose weight, and you'll get in shape before you even realize it, and you don't have to do one sit-up. Now, that sounds pretty absurd right now, but at 2 o'clock in the morning, that starts sounding like a pretty good idea. And so I ordered the ab belt without Heather knowing it. And I thought, what I'm going to do is every morning I'm going to get up early and I'm going to put the ab belt on. And it came in the mail. And I remember that first morning I was in the living room and I had put the ab belt on. And they sent me some kind of little lubricant with it. And I said, I don't need the lubricant. So I tossed it to the side and I put the ab belt on me. And it has this little machine where you start pushing the buttons and the pulsations began working the muscles in your ab. Now I started pushing it and I didn't feel anything. Little did I know that there was a delay on the ab belt. And I pushed it all the way up to the maximum volume. And I didn't put the lubricant on it. Now, suddenly it felt like a bolt of lightning had struck me and hit me in the living room. I began screaming and running all over the house. And Heather has no idea what's going on. She says, what in the world's happening? I said, the ab belts are killing me. She said, the what? The ab belts are killing me. And I began realizing for the first time, good things come to those who wait. I mean, you got to wait sometimes on God in order for the circumstance to change in your life. I wonder if you'd agree with me tonight. This generation wants it right now. We want a six-pack right now. We want our hamburgers right now. We want to click a button and we want to get on a screen right now. We want to get to the red light right now. We're the most impatient, I believe, generation that's probably ever lived. And I know in my own heart sometimes, I feel like David in Psalms 13, how long, oh God, how long, oh God, oh God, how long? I feel like I'm in the back seat and God's a Sunday driver and he just won't get down the road in my life. And I'm saying, God, would you open up this door? Why is it taking so long? You imagine how Noah and his family must have felt the entire time watching God and waiting God to do something. Not only the duration of their waiting, but I want you to consider something else tonight. I want you to consider the development of their waiting. God is developing Noah's faith and trust in this time and in this season of them waiting on God. To some degree, God is saying this, Noah, you're going to have to trust the process. No, you're going to have to depend upon me. You're going to have to learn that I know what's best right now for your life. I think Noah was a little anxious. I probably would have been just like Noah. God never told him to do this, but it was permissible, I guess, in the will of God. Noah, he sent out that raven. You remember the raven that he sent out, and 7 days later, he sent out the dove. The dove comes back, and then 7 days later, he sends out another dove, and the dove comes back with an olive branch. Listen, God never told him to do that. God never said, Noah, do it like this. No, but Noah took it upon himself, and I guess it was permissible in the will of God for him to do that. Why did he do it? The same reason we try things, because we want to see where God's at in the thing. We want to see what's going on in the circumstance. And Noah doesn't have the privilege of knowing what's going on the outside. Noah does not have the privilege of sight or vision. All he sees is what he sees within that ark. And he has no idea on the outside that God is doing something that Brother Noah just can't see. But all the while, what God is doing is God is developing things. God is developing a world for Noah to come into so that when his season finally arrives, he'll be able to live. Noah, you can't see it yet, but son, I'm working on the sun in the sky. And Noah, I know you can't see in that ark, but God, but Noah, the wind is blowing to and fro, and I know you don't understand it, but I'm abating the waters from off the earth. And I know, Noah, it's not on your timetable, but I'm accommodating the atmosphere, and I'm drying up the ground, and I'm rooting the trees, and I'm turning over the soil, and I'm planting the bushes, and I'm designing a bow that's going to be set in the cloud. And I'm getting a new world ready for you. You're not ready for it yet, Noah, but I'm doing some things that you can't see. And can I just tell you something tonight? Just because you're waiting doesn't mean God's not working. Somewhere in the shadows, God's doing something and getting something ready for your life. And it may not be that you're ready for it yet, but I've learned this. Every good thing that's ever come into my life, I've always had to wait for it. Every good thing, I think about me praying for years that God would send me a good Christian, godly wife, and I even prayed she'd be blonde hair and blue eyes. I prayed for years that God would let me get into the ministry, and I prayed for years that God would let me come to a church, and I'll never forget praying those things and in agony, and God saying, you're not ready yet? It's not ready yet? You just hold on, child. And I think, God, I don't see you doing anything, but God's saying, just because you don't see me doing it, well, glory. It doesn't mean that I'm not somewhere working something for your good and for your benefit. And I'm telling you something tonight, the development on God and the waiting is worth the waiting for. Noah, can I tell you this? I'm not only getting a new world ready for you, I'm getting you ready for a new world. I'm getting you so that you can trust me and have faith in me. And somewhere along the way, Noah, you're going to have to trust this process. Number three, not only the duration in the waiting and the development in the waiting, but also the dependency in the waiting. Noah, you're going to have to depend on God. Noah, I've brought you through the storm and I've caused you and your family to survive. Noah, you're going to have to trust in me that I know what is best. And I believe Noah did that. I love the way that the passage reads. If you look in Genesis chapter number 7 where we read, God told Noah to come into the ark. He says, come into the ark. And then in chapter 8, when the storms had ended and the waters had abated, he says, now I want you to go forth out of the ark. And that language is so specific and it's so encouraging to me. God says, come into the ark. And then God says, go out of the ark. And he didn't say it the other way around. He didn't say, go into the ark. And then when the storm was over, come out of the ark. But rather he says, come into the ark. And then when the storm's over, go out into the ark. And preacher, what is the difference? The difference is this. God invited Noah to come into the ark with him. And when the storm was over with, he says, now, Noah, you can go away from the ark. So before the ark, during the ark, and after the ark, God was with Noah. God is doing something to create dependency and trust and faith in the life of Noah, knowing this, that only God is the one who can open it. Only God is the one who can open it. And Noah, if you try to get through the window or you try to open the door yourself, you're not going to be ready. But it's in my timing and it's in my way. The Bible says that Noah and his family go out of that ark. And as soon as they go out of the ark, as I'm closing tonight, the very first thing that Noah did, he built an altar. Noah's a builder. He built a reputation. He built an ark. He built a family. He built this idea of righteousness in the world, and he would build a civilization afterwards so that you and I are here tonight because of Noah's faith. The very first thing he built after the flood, he built an altar unto God, an altar unto the Lord. He didn't go seek shelter. He didn't try to store a food bank. He wasn't looking to build a business. He wanted his children to know this. I have learned this lesson in the waiting. I've learned that you can depend on God. You can trust in God. You can rely on God. Can I ask you something tonight, Church of a Living God? What are you waiting on? Maybe we're waiting on revival. Maybe we're waiting on a spirit of renewal. Maybe we're waiting on God to fix a marriage. Maybe we're waiting on God to restore our minds. Maybe we're waiting on God to renew our strength. Maybe we're waiting on God to save a loved one. Maybe we're waiting on God just to open a door somewhere in our life. Can I tell you, you can trust him. You can depend on him. And he is worth all the waiting for. He's worth all the waiting. Heads bowed and eyes closed this evening. So we get ready to close in the service. I'm going to ask your pastor to come and close it out tonight. I wonder if there's anybody here that would say, Brother Kenny, you know, I am waiting on something. I'm waiting on something that no one else knows about. I'm waiting on an answer to prayer. And I've prayed and I've asked God. I've called upon his name. I've sought his face. And it seems like the door just remains shut. What am I to do? You keep waiting. You keep trusting. You keep praying. You keep seeking. You keep searching. And you keep depending on God. And in God's time and in God's way, on that special moment, God will open it up. And when he opens it up, it'll be right. And it will be right on time. Isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time? Brother Kenny, that's me. This evening, I'm asking and waiting on God to do something very specifically. And in this moment, in this hour, I want you to help me pray about that situation. That God would just give me the faith to continue to believe and trust in him during these days. I wonder if there's anybody like that tonight. If you just slip up your hand and put it right back down. God bless you all over the house. I want to ask you to do something about it tonight. Why don't you just turn it over to God? Why don't you just pray one more time? Believe one more time? Call upon his name one more time, and you never know. It could be the very hour that God will open it up. As we stand to our feet this evening, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Josh is going to come.